Well, happy Sunday morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. Great to have you along. I'm so happy to be here. And my name is Ann Baldwin.
And I'm Lisa Kinoki. Woohoo! I'm excited to be here today.
Yeah, you know, there's an energy in the air. It's been hotter than hot around here lately, but that's okay. You know, it's summertime. We always have to complain about something. But just a little follow-up, I wanted to let you know, and thanks to everybody who wished me, including yourself, Lisa, very happy birthday.
Woo-hoo.
I had a great birthday weekend, went over to Block Island, got out of my comfort level, got on the back of a moped. Got a ticket. Who gets a ticket on a moped? Yeah, yeah.
What kind of ticket?
I was parked in a non-parking spot, I guess.
Okay.
And I saw the officer who wrote me the ticket. It was in my helmet when I got out of the restaurant. So I said to him, I go, hey, it's my birthday. Thanks a lot for the ticket. And he goes, you're welcome. And I won't tell you. I won't tell you what happened after that.
Ooh,
but anyway,
he got a cursing out.
Yeah,
I guess.
He got a little something, a little sign language. Let's put it that way. But I do not disrespect police officers ever.
We don't.
They're
our friends.
But
in most cases,
I got a little angry. So anyway, we've got someone you know very well, and
yes.
You know it's interesting. This is a great topic, and I think all of you listeners will be interested in this because how many times have you been told, or somebody's told you? You need to write a book.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. People always are saying, are you going to write a book? I want to write a book. I have a book. And so we have the publishing powerhouse here, Barbara Jones, to tell us what that takes and exactly how do we write a book, if we should write a book. We want to know from her.
Well, and you've got just such an incredible resume, Barbara. Thanks for being here. You've been doing this for decades. You've been an editor. So many magazines that you've been involved in, from Harper's, Vogue, Real Simple, and, you know, so many books that you've written and co-written with people. And also, we should mention that you went to Yale University, right?
Yep. Yes.
Right here in New Haven?
My Connecticut roots are there.
Yay.
Actually, yep.
But right now, you're living in Harlem, which is so cool. You're in New York right now with your family. So I'm assuming you're sitting in Harlem talking to us today. And we're so excited to hear what you have to talk about.
Yes.
Yep, that's right.
And Barbara, I must start out by telling everybody, you know, there's this book that Barbara was the writing coach for. It happens to be on the New York Times bestseller list, Out of the Corner, The Jennifer Grey Story. I actually am trying to get out of the corner, so you all should get out and buy that book. But let's hear from Barbara. What was in that corner? Help us. And how do you become a writing coach for Jennifer Grey? Let's hear that.
Yeah. How did I become a writing coach for Jennifer Grey? I mean, I have taught a lot, and I did even go back and teach at my alma mater in Connecticut for 8 years and led writing workshops, and I've been an editor. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I love that book, and I'm so proud of having been able to support Jennifer in telling the story of how she got out of the corner. But it's interesting because she really wanted to write the book herself. And when you're a celebrity, a lot of times people think you should get a ghostwriter to write it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that a number of ghostwriters were proposed to her, and I'm sure they're perfectly good and fine, but they didn't have her voice. So in came me too, because I'm really supportive of authors' true voices. And by the time I showed up, there wasn't a lot of time to get the whole thing done. There were a couple months. Anyway, it's a really voicey, juicy read.
Juicy. It came out when that big trial was going on. You know, we don't even have to say the name. It made all kinds of headlines.
Oh, yeah.
And then Jennifer Grey has a little peep in there, too.
Yeah,
tell us,
yeah.
What was that about?
She
had everybody.
She dated some famous people, and
mm-hmm.
she's very forthcoming about that. But I will tell you what she said, and she said this to People Magazine, to your question, Anne, about should you write a book? Do you need to write a book? She felt that the experience of writing a memoir is something everyone should go through. She reexamined her life, and she's very sort of pro everybody do this. You know, really revisiting your experience with the viewpoint of a little bit of maturity, and forgive yourself for things you did and forgive other people for things they did. And she's very, that was her quote to People magazine when some months before publication, when it leaked that she had a book coming out. She said, this is an incredible experience. Everyone should do it. And I actually do think that in our day where a lot of stuff is recorded in texts or on emails or in forms that may vanish, we're not writing letters to each other. People don't necessarily keep paper diaries anymore. I think if you write the story of your life and self-publish it just for your family, that's actually a worthy thing to do historically. I mean, and just to be a radio host, Lisa, to do the coaching work that you do, it's your experience tells something about the way we live now and the people of our time. And any of your listeners, you know, if you're a bus driver, if you're a school teacher, if you're a banker, whatever you do, the work we do and the lives we live, you know, somebody's got to record them, and so that people have that historical record to draw on. So that's different than commercially publishing, which I can answer your questions about. But Jennifer felt like it was an emotionally fulfilling experience, and I think it's an historically worthy thing to do.
Right, and it's, you say everybody should write their own book. And I agree with that, you know, whether anybody reads it or not, it might be the therapeutic piece for
That's
you,
right.
Correct?
Yeah.
But I tell you what, I've got a book waiting in my safe at home, and I've got all these emails and text messages and all this evidence of my cheating ex-husband.
Uh-oh.
You know, and this was years ago, but I've just been waiting for time to pass because, and then the stories that go with that and the people that are actually involved in his escapades. I mean, I swear it could be a bestseller to me.
I was going to say, are you going to make him rich or yourself?
To
Come
me,
on.
Right?
Yeah, let's get that
But
story
I'm not
told.
Sure if anybody else would read it. And then as I tell people about my book idea, they all say, oh, can I add a chapter? Can I contribute a chapter? Oh, well, I've got a chapter for you. I think everybody's got their story. So it's just so great to talk to somebody that does this all the time. And then, you know, you get into the, so should you self-publish? Should you not self-publish? That's another question that you got to ask, because it's not cheap to write and publish a book.
No, it's not. I mean, even if a publisher gives you $0 as an advance, they're spending tens of thousands of dollars to get it out there into the world, and they might not make any of it back. But so in terms of publishing with a publisher, aside from self-publishing it, I will just give you a tip, you and your listeners. There are two things that stop editors and agents as well, but editors, book editors, which I was until relatively recently, get between 600 and 1,200 submissions a year. Wow. That come through agents. That's a lot. Sometimes you feel like a sieve that's getting clogged. I mean, there's just so much to read. And there are two things that stop you from bidding on that, two main things I would say. One is if the writing is not sort of up to snuff. And I call that my slang for that is the basics. So you can that's fixable, but if the sentences are not so good, and Jennifer and I had a lot of fun with that, because if you read the book, you'll see she doesn't always write in sentences. Sometimes she writes in phrases, which you can do in a creative writing. But anyway, she teased me a lot about saying that is not a sentence. But anyway, so the basic writing skills matter. And there are lots of tricks to that. But the other thing is something that is even more important in a way, more powerful, which is a big story idea. That is, and that's what my shorthand for that is the bold. Like, what is the pitch? What is the story that you can tell as well as or better than anyone that is going to be of interest to the readers? So the writing could be really great, but if it doesn't have a powerful story attached to it, that makes it an obstacle. And a lot of times people don't read the whole thing to find out that there's an amazing story because the writing wasn't so good. So you can get in a writing group, you can get in a reading group, you know, and you could take classes, you know, just to brush up on both of those things and get feedback on both of those things.
We have those authors group, Connecticut authors groups, right here in Connecticut. That's a great idea.
That is.
Because instead of sitting around thinking, should I do it, should I not?
Right.
You know, join a group and get that, you know, get that coaching, get that reaction and interaction from people who are like-minded, right?
Or Barbara also teaches at NYU. And speaking of this, let's go back a little bit, because yesterday, Ann and I had the pleasure of working with some reporters over at OIC. And and that's something local here. But these young people are, you know, 14, 15 in high school, getting paid to learn how to be a reporter. And it was so interesting because neither one of us were paid when we were kids, but we knew what we wanted to do. So I thought it was brilliant. But let's go back in terms of your history. How did you get started in, you know, being an editor, being at Vogue, being at all these places? I heard you were there when they did Devil Wears Prada. So we really want to know from you what's going on.
Yes, the Devil Wears Prada was the days. I was not in the fashion side. And in fact, if you knew me, you would know why, and
but Anna
would have
there.
A heart attack. But I was in the sort of the
you
futures, the arts
See?
Coverage. Yeah.
The scoop.
How did I get into that? You know, I you know, I was an English major, and I fell in love with basically contemporary short stories. I love the experience. It's not really different than being like a nurse or a sports coach or anything else. I like fell in love with this thing, and I just wanted to be where it was and help make it happen. And in doing that, you know, I became an editor first at a little literary magazine, and then at bigger magazines, and then, you know, and then books. I guess I went from very short things to longer and longer and longer things. You know, I just had a craft that I loved and still love to this day. Like, nothing makes me happier than sitting with a manuscript and a pencil. I mean, to be old-fashioned about
it. And obviously, you know, your success record and your track record speaks for itself. If you were just tuning in this morning, again, thanks for being here. And we're speaking with Barbara Jones. And Barbara is joining us from Harlem, New York. And how can, or do you even want, this is one thing I should ask you before we do it, you know, people to reach out to you? Because I know in my business, and maybe yours, after you've been doing what you're doing for a while, you've kind of cut off that low-lying fruit. Not to say that not everybody's important and their ideas matter, but you get to a certain level in your career, which I'm assuming you're at, and you really don't want everyday moms and pops reaching out to you to help you write their book.
Well, I think that was one of the interesting things before you even get to answer is that, you know, we wanted to let people know, you know, maybe how to get a literary agent, because Barbara is a publishing powerhouse and now a literary agent. Woohoo! Lucky, lucky, lucky me and some of my clients. But I know what most people are looking for and seeking is that literary agent. So maybe you can tell us.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What is a literary agent? Mm-hmm. How do you get in touch with them? How do you send a query letter? Because that's how it starts. So tell us some of the basics before we get into just you.
I actually didn't know the basics till I was suddenly on the other side. So I want to just stop for one second here and say a really important piece of this whole conversation, really important, almost like number one, is actually the bookstore. Your local bookstore, and in Connecticut, you know, there are a number of them. There's Riverbend and Glastonbury. You've got some Barnes and Nobles at the school.
RJ Julia,
RJ Julia, if you want to drive an hour down to Madison.
Yes.
There's a great bookstore in Mystic, Connecticut. So bookstores are extremely important, and as important as like the basics and the bold and all of that is that you are a reader and you're a part of a reading community. And some of the classes and some of the context and some of the writing group stuff happens out of bookstores. So you just be a really good literary citizen. And I kid you not, that matters in the long run.
Yeah, and
there are a lot of famous authors now who are also bookstore owners.
Yes. In fact, I was going to say, we forgot, RJ Julia is also over at Wesleyan, where they also have the Lin-Manuel Miranda Scholarship for Writers in college. So there are lots and lots of brilliant writers that come out of Connecticut. Think about Mark Twain. We got
there you go. We're going way back.
That's right.
Yeah. Connecticut has a great literary history. And whoever you are, People want to hear what your voice is. So you should be reading. If you think, oh, I've got a story to tell, but you haven't read 10 books in the last few months, think again, because the great writers basically learn by reading. Mm-hmm. And you can get pushed by a group, and you can get feedback from a group and all of that. But you want to read, and you want to respond to the reading and learn what you like and learn what you don't like. Now, to an agent, if you go to your bookstore and your local bookstore and you look at the books that are out on the table, the ones that you like. So let's say you like thrillers, you like mystery, or you like romance, and they're really incredible people writing in all of these genres. If you like literary fiction, which is sort of more my beat, or memoir, history, whatever, make a pile of the books that you love. And if you look in the acknowledgments, you'll find out who the agent was.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Almost always the author thinks their agent and their editor, not always. And you want to go to a bookstore for that, not a library, although you should be not as much of a library, because you want the latest books. Mm-hmm. Because that shows it, because it's about 3 years from the moment it's sold till the moment it's on that table a lot of the time.
Oh, wow.
So you want somebody who's still alive. Like, you don't want, like, you know, Mark Twain's agent, because that was, too long ago.
He's long gone. You know, the other question I have, Barbara, is how do you decipher between fiction and nonfiction? You know, I would imagine some people want to go one way because they want to protect the identities of the people involved.
Yes.
So what's more effective, or is there an answer to that? Either one's fine.
Ooh, good question. I mean, I would say the answer to that is whatever works. If you're talking about memoir versus a novel, the principles that make them work, from my point of view, are kind of the same. Ultimately, the story should be a drama that, while it's about one person, now I'm going to steal, I steal everything, but I'm going to steal a phrase from a friend of mine. It's a very, very specific drama that happened to one person, but the more specific the details, the more it smells the way it smelled, the more the road looks the way it looked, the more, you know, all of that, the specific details make it something that the reader starts to feel is about them. So there's a thing my friend calls the physics of memoir, which is like this weird thing, which is the more specific and personal it gets, telling the secret that nobody else knows, that's the moment when other people start to think, oh my gosh, I relate to that, right? So that's memoir, the physics of memoir, but novels and memoirs both have, you know, two forces at play that are, you know, against each other, and maybe in yours, and it's you versus your cheating husband, and we don't know while we're reading it who's going to win.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, at the beginning of movies, they put on there what it's going to have on it, like smoking, sex, violence,
nudity.
Yeah, so my book would have to have a disclaimer that all that would be in all that would be in my book, and maybe even some bloodshed, you know.
Well, that sounds like a bestseller right now.
I know. Oh, you're getting me really kind of fired up about this. I think, but you know, to engage in that process, like you said, if you just don't say I'm going to write a book, but you're giving us some great, our listeners and myself and Lisa,
yes,
some great advice on what to think about, what to do beforehand. It's like people say, I want to be in public relations.
Right.
Well, you don't just jump into this field.
That's right.
There are certain things, you know, the stones that you have to build before you get to that point. And this is just so interesting. I love it. And again, the latest book, is this the latest one that you've worked on, Out of the Corner, Jennifer Gray's memoir?
I was going to say.
Yeah. There's some other ones that I left behind when I left my editing career that are still coming out. And one of them, for people who are interested in history, and I bet there are a lot of history buffs around in your listening area, because it's such a history rich region of the country, there's a book that is called The Sewing Girl's Tale, which takes place in Revolutionary War America. It was one of the last books I signed up, and it just was made the cover of the New York Times Book Review this week.
Wow.
Okay, what about your LA Times Book Award-winning book that just came out?
And
also... Yeah. Go ahead. Tell us what the name of that one is.
Oh, that's by a very famous author named Paul Auster. I mean, I didn't write these books. I, you know, was involved in their publication. But yeah, that's a big, fat book called Burning Boy, which is the life and times of Stephen Crane. Yeah, these are very serious books. But very, very, very good. I won the LA Times History Prize this year.
Okay, I think we can also tell one other story, because this was also a good story from someone who was unknown. It was a teacher. I remember reading in the New York Times, and I said, I bet you Barbara had something to do with this woman. And lo and behold, she did.
Wow.
So tell us about that woman. Oh, yeah, I think she was a teacher
woman,
and wanted to write her.
Yes. This is, and she's a really, she and Jennifer and Paul Auster and John Sweet, who wrote the Sewing Girls tale, were here to all speak for themselves. But this woman's name is Jocelyn Nicole Johnson. And the book, which is a slim volume, is called My Monticello. Jocelyn lives in Charlottesville, Virginia. And she's been a children's art teacher in a public elementary school for many years. She started writing when she was traveling, when she first met her husband, and now they have a boy who I think is a son who's maybe even a senior in high school at this point, or nearing that age. So you can see how long this has been. But she wrote blog posts home, and that contact with the reader was how she first started to hone her craft as a writer. Anyway, My Monticello, look it up, is an extraordinarily powerful novella about people of color, in black people in Charlottesville. It's a novel, it's a pretend story, but trying to hold their own in against right-wing attackers a few years from now. It's a novel, and the grid is being shut down from global warming and all of this, but they take refuge in Monticello, Jefferson's home, and one of the main characters is a descendant of Sally Hemings and Thomas Jefferson. Anyway, wow. So she in a way takes her rightful place, but under really terrible circumstances. It's quite a thrilling novella. And there are some short stories in there too that are, you know, Best American Short Story. There's a book called Best American Short Stories. One of them is in that book. I mean, she's just incredible. She's incredible. And the kindergarten teachers and lower school teachers have become great writers. One of them won a Pulitzer Prize, an Atlanta teacher, for a play called Wit that was made into a movie with Emma Thompson years ago.
Yes.
She was a kindergarten teacher.
So,
and yeah.
We can tell. I know we're running tight on time, but we can tell. And mind you, the audience should know all those books we mentioned with Barbara, they all came out in the past year. So winner. We can't really say all the other loads of other books she's written on, but I will say that I'm fortunate to have clients who have gotten a book deal with you as well, and that's going to be coming out. That's The Swans of Harlem and the Wit Ladies of the Dance Theater of Harlem, and that'll be coming out with Pantheon and
2024.
So, woohoo!
Well, and you know, I guess the big eye-opener, there are a few of them for me today, but one of the big ones is the time that it takes, right? There's a lag time there.
Yeah.
So to figure that out, and I just want to say, Lisa, too, to you, you know, hats off for finding that story and taking these ladies and finding the outlets and the exposure for
and
them.
And finding Barbara. And Barbara was the key.
Right.
Here. And now a movie deal or TV deal or whatever else we got coming up that you'll hear about. But yeah, it's people like Barbara who are committed to their craft and who you want to work with and you want to learn. So come on, people. She's over at NYU teaching a course. I think we're going to have to pull up and see what's going on at that course.
That's
next
right.
Time.
Well, and I would think, Barbara, too, a big part of your role is to be a coach, right? To help people, you know, maybe get them back on track or heading in a different direction. But whatever it is, I really admire your reputation and your work ethic and your work. And I'm just honored to have somebody like you on the show today. It's just been very, very, it's been great.
Thank you.
Likewise.
So excited, and we adore you. Thank you.
All right. I hope you were all inspired to think about it. Everybody's got a book. And hey, before we go, I also want to mention to mark your calendars, because this is something that Baldwin Media works very hard on every year. It's the Berlin Fair. It's now 4 days this year. Beautiful fall in New England in Berlin, Connecticut, put on by the Lions Club. It's now September 15th. Through the 18th.
My birthday.
All right. So mark your calendars. Hey, I know what we can do for your birthday. Thursday night's the Demolition Derby. We'll put you in one of those cars. How's that?
Thank you. That's it.
Okay.
Demolished before my 60th. Perfect.
All right. Well, Barbara Jones, thank you. And thanks to all of you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, Lisa.
Take care. Bye, Barbara.
And of course, we wouldn't be here without you, all of our listeners.
That's
thank
right.
you for tuning into this edition of News You Can Use. Yes, you can. Right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.